were here last week, Keithan taught and opened us up and talked about how the Holy Spirit, we asked the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And sort of like if I could summarize the most important point I want you guys to remember is that the Holy Spirit, Keithan talked about how the Holy Spirit's not a force, but is a person. He talked about how it's not just sort of this force that's like out there somewhere and we don't really understand or know where it is, but it's actually a person that we're invited to have a relationship with. And I'm assuming like some stories got told around the room where that's been the experience for some of you guys. And tonight we're going to go into another question, which is what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our life? So if he's a person that we're meant to have a relationship with, what does that actually look like? What does the role of the Holy Spirit look like in our life? What does he do? What does the Holy Spirit do? And as I prayed over tonight, I just got this very strong sense that I just really think the Holy Spirit wants to introduce himself to you guys. I don't want to just get up here and tell you things that I've thought of somewhere in my brain. I actually like want to create space tonight for the Holy Spirit to meet you guys. So I'll give some teaching and we'll go through some scripture, but then I really want to create space on the back end to just hear from the Holy Spirit. And I also just pray like God speak through my words. Would Holy Spirit, you reveal yourself through my words. Have you guys ever seen somebody, maybe there's someone in this room, don't name any names, but that you like saw for a while and you're like kind of had an idea about what they were probably like. Maybe you're like, they don't seem very nice, or like you get these ideas about them, and then like maybe 6 months, a year later, you realize you're like best friends with them. You're like, oh, my first impression of that person was so wrong. Like you have this idea of someone before you meet them, and then you realize at some point in some way you become good friends with them and you're like, okay, that was completely wrong. I just have a feeling, and this has been true for my life in so many different times, where I get these ideas of what God is like, or particularly what the Holy Spirit is like. And then through the Holy Spirit like meeting me and speaking to me, I realized that my first impression or my idea of him from just like afar was really wrong. And so I just want to invite you guys to be open to whatever you just shared in your group getting like blown out of the water. Whatever you just shared, maybe it was like a truth about the Holy Spirit, but I just believe tonight he wants to reveal like something even greater or bigger. So I just want to invite you to be open to whatever the Holy Spirit has for you tonight. And the idea, when I thought about sort of my conception of the Holy Spirit, especially when I was younger, the thing that came to my mind is who's here has seen the movie Pinocchio, or like read the book or knows the story. So there's this character in Pinocchio named Jiminy Cricket, and Jiminy Cricket is a literal cricket, and basically the Blue Fairy makes Jiminy Cricket Pinocchio's conscience. Pinocchio doesn't have a conscience. Jiminy Cricket becomes his conscience, and the Blue Fairy says, "I dub you Pinocchio's conscience, Lord High Keeper of the knowledge of right and wrong, counselor in moments of temptation, and guide along the straight and narrow path." And to be honest, like for a long time when I thought of the Holy Spirit, I straight up literally thought of Jiminy Cricket. Like this was my conception of the Holy Spirit. And I had people literally teach me when I was in middle school and high school that the Holy Spirit is basically just your conscience. It's like the Christian version of the conscience. It's just like this little voice that sometimes you might hear that tells you what to do. And I think there's a line in Pinocchio that where Jiminy Cricket says like the conscience is the thing that everybody ignores. And this was just kind of my concept of the Holy Spirit for a really long time. That it was just kind of like that. And I realized over the years how utterly tiny of a view of the Holy Spirit this was. Like there is some truth that the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit helps us know right from wrong. Like the Holy Spirit does do some of those things. But this view of this tiny little like squishable cricket that I could listen to or not listen to or like kill at any point if I wanted to, like that is so off base and such just tiny, tiny view. So I just have this feeling, yes, exactly. I just have this feeling that God's going to give us a bigger view. If that in any way aligns with your view of the Holy Spirit like it did mine, I just think God's going to blow us out of the water tonight. I want to look at the first place that the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Bible, which is in the very first, or it's the second verse, first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. And it says this. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and deep. And empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So before anything happens, before the earth is created, before time is created, there's just sort of like empty chaos, water, nothing has been formed, and the Holy Spirit is there from the beginning, hovering over the waters. That Holy Spirit that's hovering over the waters is now the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, which is wild. And that picture of the Holy Spirit is so, so, so different than this tiny little cricket that we can like maybe listen to if we want. Such a different perspective. And I just think that, again, I just want to say that I just think God has more for us in how we view and see the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. So I just want to start by praying and just invite each of us to just take a moment to come before God and just invite him to introduce himself, invite the Holy Spirit to introduce himself to us tonight. Invite the Holy Spirit to like tell you who he really is. Invite the Holy Spirit to give you like new understanding of his power, of his love towards you, of his relationship towards you. So I just would invite you, if you're comfortable, to just like put your hands out in front of you. I'm just gonna lead us in a prayer. Holy Spirit, God, we just give you this time. I ask that this would not be just me talking, but that Holy Spirit, you would come and reveal yourself to us tonight. I pray that you would give us just new understanding of who you are, of your power, of your goodness. Would you speak to each individual heart here tonight? Just like, what do you want to show us about who you are? What do you want to do in this room, God? Not what we want, not what we are hoping for tonight, but Holy Spirit, what you want, we offer it to you tonight, God. Come speak. Amen. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open them up to John 16. So the person that I think should introduce the Holy Spirit to us tonight is not me, but it's actually Jesus. And in John 16, Jesus is about to die, raised from the dead, ascend back to heaven. And what he's doing in this moment is he's introducing the Holy Spirit to his disciples, to his closest friends. And so I'm going to read this in John 16, starting in verse 7. It says this. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And I'm going to skip down to verse 12. It says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Jesus is hyping up the Holy Spirit. Jesus loves the Holy Spirit. He is telling his closest friends, who are going to be the most upset that he is ascending to heaven and going to leave them. And he's telling them, like, it's actually better that I go. The Holy Spirit is actually better for you than me. And he's saying, like, this Spirit is going to guide you. He's going to reveal the things of God to you. He's going to come be powerful in your life, more important in your life than even I have been. He's basically just telling his closest friends, like, this Spirit is going to rock your world. He's going to deeply impact your life. And it makes me just think about this question and want to ask you guys this question tonight, to just think about this for a second. If you woke up tomorrow and you realized that the Holy Spirit did not exist, would your life look any different? If you woke up tomorrow and realized that the Holy Spirit didn't exist, would your life look any different? Just want you to kind of ponder that. And I'll share for myself that there was a point where my answer to this would have definitely been no. Keithan last week talked about this graph that I think I have to throw up on the screen, but where he talked about how in a lot of churches, they are really talk a lot about God and how we are to just love God and how God loves us. They talk a lot about how we're to follow the commands of Jesus. They love Jesus. They love God, but then they kind of are afraid of talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit kind of gets put in this corner. It's like a little confusing, a little scary. Maybe they even believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't move any longer. And this was the kind of church that, in a lot of ways, how my church was growing up. I just didn't grow up with a lot of conversation around the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's power wasn't really something that was talked a lot about for me growing up. And slowly, the way that this concept started to impact my life is that I slowly started to feel just like I couldn't do enough and like I was suffocating. Because I had these concepts of like, I need to love God and I need to follow the commands of Jesus, but I'm like not very good at it. And I wake up and I try to love God and then I get distracted and I actually need to go to school and I can't love God enough and I can't find time to pray and I'm tired. And then I try to do the commands of Jesus, but I mess up over and over and over. And I just remember getting to this point where trying to love God and do what Jesus said became so hard and I just was not doing well at it. And I felt so overwhelmed. But I want to look back at what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, and this was so life-changing to me. Jesus says, if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. Jesus was introducing the Holy Spirit to his friends as their helper. And I, with only this concept of God and Jesus, was operating, trying to love God, trying to honor Jesus without a helper. And I believe like God all along was like, Reagan, I've sent you a helper. I've sent you the power of the Holy Spirit to help you do these things, to help you follow me. And you're just ignoring it. And when I realized that this helper was here all along and that the power of the Holy Spirit was available to me all along, I felt like I just like utterly missed something so important. And it would be like if you lived in Washington Heights. Who lives in Washington Heights? A few of us. And you went to school at Brooklyn Tech. Who goes to Brooklyn Tech? Yes. So imagine you live in Washington Heights, you go to school in Brooklyn Tech, and you walk to school every single day because you don't think there's any other way to get there. And it takes 4 hours and 41 minutes to be exact, to walk from Washington Heights to Brooklyn Tech. For those at Brooklyn Tech, what time do you guys start school? What time do you have to be there? It's complicated. Okay, 8 to 9:30. Let's say you have to be there at 8:30. You are going to be leaving your house at like, what, 2:30 a.m. or something to get there in time. So you wake up, you leave at 2:30 a.m. day after day after day. You get to school, you are like dehydrated, you're hungry, your feet are covered in like calluses, you are exhausted, you are sweating, you sit down in class, you can hardly focus because you're so tired, and then a few hours later, you get up and you have to walk home. You do this day after day after day, and you're like, I can't do this anymore. This is too much. And then one day, you're walking and you see a classmate of yours who is a couple blocks from your house, and then you see them take these mysterious steps down underground. And then you see them get onto a train and you just follow them on and you sit down, and then under an hour later, you're at school. Whoa. And you realize that there was this power source, this thing that could help you get to school, and it was there all along. You were just ignoring it. You didn't know it was there, so you couldn't utilize its power, and it was just there, and you were exhausted, and you were just completely running yourself empty, and all along there was this way to get to school, and you had no idea. We are given a new reality when we step into life with the Holy Spirit. We are not meant to follow Jesus without the Helper. We are not meant to live life without the Helper. Like, I believe the Holy Spirit is meant for all people to help us with everything. And when we don't access that, when we don't realize it, it's like trying to commute from Washington Heights to Brooklyn Tech on foot. So tonight, again, we're going to ask this question, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? And I want to put this into this sentence that is a little complicated, but I think the role of the Spirit is the one whose power in us empowers us to do the things that we in our own power could not do. The Spirit is the one whose power in us empowers us to do what in our own power we could not do. The Spirit is the source of power that's here to empower us. Now, what does this look like? I want to look at the role of the Spirit throughout the scriptures to help kind of help us understand what his role is, what his function is. So we're going to start in the Old Testament. We're going to go through quite a few passages of scripture here, but don't worry, they'll all be on the screen. So we started at the very beginning, right? In Genesis 1, we talked about how the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. He was there at the very beginning. And then we see the next piece of the role of the Holy Spirit in Exodus, the next book of the Bible. And in Exodus 25, verses 8 and 22, it says this. It says, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me." So this is God talking to his people. "Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." So he's saying, my spirit will come dwell among you in the sanctuary. And then in verse 22, it says, "There above the cover between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Covenant law, I will meet with you, and I will give you all my commands for the Israelites." So what these two passages are showing us is that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit dwelled in a specific place in the sanctuary of the tabernacle and spoke to specific people, giving them instructions to go then and share and share with God's people. So the Holy Spirit dwelled in a specific place and spoke to specific people. So this was like a holy place and spoke to people that had really like made themselves clean, were offering their lives before God. And then a little bit later in the Old Testament, we see that God starts to reveal to specific people called prophets. And prophets were people that the Holy Spirit would speak to and tell things from God that they would then go and tell others. So the Holy Spirit starts to reveal to these prophets that his function, his role, was actually going to change in the future. So he was dwelling in a specific place, talking to specific people, and then he starts revealing these things, these prophecies to the prophets about things that would happen in the future. So what he reveals to the prophet Joel, he says, "And afterward," in Joel 2:28, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." And then he reveals to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31, "No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord." And then he reveals to the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36. He says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." What the Holy Spirit is revealing to the prophets through these passages is that in the future, at some point, the Holy Spirit is going to go from dwelling in a specific place and only talking to specific people to dwelling in us and being for all people. So suddenly, instead of only dwelling in the sanctuary, he's saying that in the future, you are going to be the sanctuary. Like, people that give their lives to Jesus will be the sanctuary, and I will be for all people. And why is this possible? What allows for this change? Is it just sort of like random? No. The thing that will allow for this change that we know, because we have the whole Bible, is that what will allow for this change is that Jesus will come die. Jesus will come die and rise again. And because by his death we're all made holy, we can now have the Holy Spirit living inside of us rather than him just having to live inside of a sanctuary. So then we get to the New Testament, and we get to see the first time that the Holy Spirit comes and rests on a person, and that person is Jesus. So before Jesus starts his ministry, before he starts the miracles and all of the things that we read about that he does that are so powerful and great, it says that he was baptized, and as he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And this is so important. This is like a really easy thing to skip past, but it's actually so important because it's really easy to look at the miracles that Jesus performed and all the things that Jesus did and think like he was able to do all those things because he's God. But it actually oftentimes says in the Gospels that Jesus was moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. If he was able to perform miracles just because he was God, then he wouldn't have needed the Holy Spirit to descend on him like a dove. The Holy Spirit came on him, and it was actually by the power of the Holy Spirit that he moved. And this is because we often forget that Jesus was 100% human. Jesus came to earth and actually took on all of our limitations as humans. And then the Holy Spirit came and empowered him to do all of the things that he did. So Jesus is actually the perfect picture of what a human fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit can look like. And he says this to his disciples. He says, "You will do greater things than me." How is that possible? It's only possible because the Spirit that was empowering him to move by his blood and by his death could now come live in us and empower us to live lives like Jesus lived. And the good news about this is that It means that God's not looking for people to walk from Washington Heights to Brooklyn Tech. He's not looking for people to just work really hard for him and do a lot out of their own strength. He's looking for people that he can fill and that his power can move through. So, again, I just want to read this sentence again, that the Spirit is the one whose power in us empowers us to do the things that we in our own power cannot do. So this means that the Spirit that was in Jesus is going to like come live in those who confess Jesus as their Lord. It means the Spirit that was hovering over the waters at the very beginning of time by the blood and death of Jesus is going to come live inside of us, has come and lived inside of us. That the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in the sanctuary, that talked to the prophets, to Jeremiah, to Ezekiel, to Isaiah, to Joel, that Spirit, by the blood and sacrifice of Jesus, can live in us now. This is like massively different than Jiminy Cricket. I just have to say that. So what is the Holy Spirit empowering us to do? This is like this amazing concept. It's like, okay, the Holy Spirit's going to come live in me. That's mind-blowing if we really think about it. What does he empower us to do? I want to look at Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, and this is our last passage of the night. This is what Jesus says in Matthew. So someone comes and asks Jesus, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And then it says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So you can summarize all that we are meant to do as followers of Jesus with these two things. That we are created to love God and to love others. And if you've been following Jesus for long, you've probably experienced how bad we are at this. How it's so easy to be like, God, I really want to love you. I really want to spend like 5 minutes with you in the morning, and then you snooze your alarm and it just like doesn't happen. Or I really want to like love people around me, and then you find yourself screaming at your siblings or being like short-tempered with someone at school or ignoring somebody that just needs someone to love them. We fail at loving God and loving others all the time. But I believe that by Jesus, by his blood, sending the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, that what the Holy Spirit is there to do is to empower us to do this, to empower us to do what we were literally created to do, which is to love God and to love others. And I really think tonight that the Holy Spirit wants to blow your mind with what this can look like. I feel like the Holy Spirit in this room tonight wants to take us from thinking like, maybe I can just give 5 minutes of our day to God, to actually giving you a vision and empowering you to love God more passionately and wholeheartedly than you could have ever imagined. I really genuinely believe that God wants to take you from just praying and hoping that you don't like flip out at your parents, to actually empowering you to love people more sacrificially and powerfully than you could have ever imagined, to move in prophecy and healing, to like pour out love on others in a way that you could not do on your own. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to just help you get by or just sort of make the right decisions and not mess up too much. The Holy Spirit wants to take you on a wild adventure of following Jesus with power. And before we close and go into a time of prayer, I just want to share a quick story of how this has looked in my life extremely recently. So this past weekend, we shared about it last Wednesday, and a few of you guys got to come join. We had the Altars Conference, and this was a conference where, honestly, a lot of what we did was just seek God and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come fill us. And I had one of the most powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit that I've had in my entire life. And I, to be fully honest with you guys, like, have been feeling for a while, like, frustrated. Like, God, I want to love you more. I want to like give more of myself to you. And yet I felt sort of weak in that. I felt like I get up and I'm like, I hope I can just read like one chapter of the Bible. And I feel just weak in my love for God. And I've been asking God for more love towards him. And I've had just these idols and things that I've just been struggling to tear down, like an idol of time, an idol of efficiency, an idol of comfort. And it's felt like in my own strength, I've been like powerless to get rid of them. And at Altars, we just had this like long stretch where we were just praying and seeking God. And I just asked the Holy Spirit. I was like, Holy Spirit, come help me love God. Like, I need help to love him. And truly, you guys, in like a few hours, I felt like these idols just all lifted from me. They all just like fell off of me. And I felt more filled with love for God than I could have ever imagined, like truly than I've ever experienced in my life. And this was not because I did something awesome. This was just because I just weakly was like, Holy Spirit, I need help. I'm struggling. And I literally, like, at first I was kind of like, okay, am I going to leave this conference and everything's going to go back to normal and I'm just going to kind of go back into my normal rhythms? But truly, just this week, every single day I've woken up with just this sense of like extreme love for God, and genuinely have like gotten, I got off the train the other day at 81st Street and I'm walking down the street and I'm literally like, oh my gosh, the leaves look so green, and there's not even leaves on the trees, but I swear they did. And I'm like looking at faces around me and I'm like, I just have so much love for these like random people on my street. And it literally, like, I had to stand there for a second and be like, is it appropriate to fall down on my knees and worship right here? And maybe I should have. I really didn't. But I was genuinely singing out loud, and I was just like praising God out loud while I was walking down 81st Street, and I probably looked really weird. And I just will say, that's not normal for me. That is not what I do normally. I normally am like tired from work, and I'm like, please get me home so that I can eat a snack and sit on my couch. And I just was filled with this love for God. And I've also been asking God, like, God, I want to see people on the street and be willing to stop and talk to people, and I do not normally. That is like very outside my comfort zone. And since Alter is like, God keeps showing me people, and he's like, stop and talk to this person. And I share this not to say like, look at me, I'm really amazing. I'm not. Like, these things were not natural to me. This was something I was like honestly begging God for. And it was at a point of just like weakness. Like, God, these idols are clinging to me. I don't know what to do. I'm struggling to fully love you. And I just really believe that tonight, like, that I felt so strongly for tonight, like the experience that I had wasn't incidentally before I did this teaching, like it wasn't an accident, but that God, like, what the Holy Spirit poured out on me at Altars, like, he wants to also give to you guys, and he wants to invite you guys to just like dream for more than Jiminy Cricket. Like, dream for a Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters, that filled the tabernacle, that rested on Jesus as he healed and rose and like raised Lazarus from the dead. And like, to believe for that Holy Spirit to move inside of you. And we're just gonna go into a time of prayer, and I just want you to just sit with the Holy Spirit and just like whatever you feel like you need, just ask the Holy Spirit to come fill you. And a few just sort of things to maybe prompt you. If you feel like you're struggling to love God, if you just feel like maybe in worship earlier, you were like, I really want to praise you. I really want to like feel something and I don't. Then I would invite you to just ask the Holy Spirit to come fill you. Or maybe you feel like you're struggling to love other people. Ask the Holy Spirit to come fill you. And I think another thing I just got a really strong sense of for tonight is, if there's anyone in here that you hear this and you're like, this is amazing, the Holy Spirit comes and fills us by the blood of Jesus. So if you haven't given your life to Jesus, I would just invite you during this time to do that. Levi got this word in pre-gathering prayer of like standing at a hill, looking at the stars in a meteor shower, coming down and like showing who God was in the meteor shower. And then people like giving their lives to Jesus. And I feel like that's what's gonna happen, is like the Holy Spirit's gonna reveal himself. And if you feel prompted to give your life to Jesus tonight, like, please, we're gonna have leaders around the room. Like, go pray with a leader. It would be our greatest joy to pray for you. So let's just go into a time of just inviting the Holy Spirit. Just be honest. I think that like that is also key, is don't go to the Holy Spirit and be like, yeah, I got this. Go to the Holy Spirit exactly as you are. Declare your weakness. Be like, I don't love God very much right now. Help me. I'm really angry at this person. Help me. Like, just where do you need more of the power of the Holy Spirit? Or maybe you just need a bigger view of the Holy Spirit. You can ask him for that. Ask him to reveal himself. And open us in prayer. And then we're just going to go into a time where there'll be worship. You can sing if you want. Or there will be leaders around the back of the room. Feel free to go pray with a leader. Or feel free to just come kneel at the front. I think there's power in just like a posture of kneeling before God. Like, God, help me. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you here. We just want to give you space to move tonight. You are our helper. For those that are weary, tired of striving to be good enough, come be our helper. For those that just like feel stuck in their own sin, come help us submit our lives to you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come.